It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
Mr. Secretary, you have just testified to the American people you're incompetent at your job.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios, it's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
Have you ever heard of the Federal Mine Safety Review Commission? The United States Office of Global Media? The U.S. Mission to the United States? No? You haven't heard of those? Well, they are what's known as the administrative state of American government. Here are some more familiar names of this administrative state: the FBI, the ATF, the FDIC, the DEA, FCC. Now, those are some names you have heard of. The administrative state describes the power some agencies hold to write, judge, and enforce their own laws. Not laws by the people through the legislative process, but through lifelong administrators or new administrators within a new presidential administration. I'm Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. You can just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out about diversifying your savings with precious metals like gold and silver. That's BookerLikesGold.com. Well, the TikTok ban bill has been in the headlines for a few weeks now, and I think it's worth a deeper dive into what this really means to understand it all. We have to understand that administrative state that I was just talking about and what has been working all the way back to 2019 when Donald Trump signed an executive order. Brianna Sogdahl is a senior writer or a senior fellow, maybe. She's a senior at one and not the other, I'm not sure, but I came across some of her work recently, and I think you need to hear it straight from her. You need to know this information. So now let's welcome Brianna to The Truth Be Told.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
And which one did I get wrong there? Is it senior writer or senior research fellow?
It's both. I'm a senior writer and research fellow.
Okay. And you probably don't want to be senior on either one of them, actually. So, you know, I talked about there about Donald Trump's initiative or attempt to ban or separate from China, from TikTok. And he started that process in 2019. We see where we are now today. But you have come across some information that I think people need to hear about. So take us from 2019 to where we are now.
Well, certainly. Thank you. In 2019, Donald Trump had signed a national emergency authorization for what's called IEPA. That is the International Economic Emergency Powers Act. And he, through that act, worked to secure the bulk data and cyberstructure infrastructure, essentially, of American citizens' data. And the target in that economic sanctions authorization was TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance. While initially what happened is the Treasury and the Department of Commerce worked to facilitate sanctions against the company. The company then sued the Trump administration and fought back on one really important and distinct point, which they challenged the president's authority to force divestiture or compelled sales of shares. And they challenged that on both a statutory basis and an administrative guideline basis. And they won in court. And so after that process was initiated, Trump left office, Biden took office, and the day before Biden took office, the CFIUS is the name of the administrative agency, promulgated a new set of final rule changes that were initiated from Trump's executive order or invocation of IEPA. And over the course of the last 3 years, ByteDance and TikTok have worked with the Biden administration to come into compliance. So if you have any questions, I'll stop there for a moment.
Yeah, I want to back up real quick to Trump signs an executive order. But then within his administration, then he is getting pushback on this from the beginning. And they actually take him to court and they win. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's correct. And interestingly enough, the company sued that the Trump administration was violating their constitutional rights, and they won in court.
You can't make this stuff up, people. This is how crazy our government is. So Trump signs the executive order. He's trying to protect the American people, their data. He's trying to separate China and ByteDance and TikTok. All of that was going on. And within our own government, people that work for us as civil servants or public servants, they are fighting against Donald Trump. And some people would call that the deep state. Maybe they're highly qualified experts that the government is full of. But that's what happened. And then coming into office in January of 2021 is Joe Biden. And within hours of him taking office, they come to some agreement. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Well, essentially what happened is the agency that is responsible for administrating sanctions, if you will, and this is CFIUS. It's CFIUS. Essentially, this agency promulgated new rule changes, and it was based on Trump's executive order. But in really, it was in many ways in a response to the lawsuit and the legal challenges that were brought up against the Trump administration in the course of these actions. But what it did is it basically expanded the definitions and expanded much authority. But you're right in the sense that our entire legal apparatus, if you will, was not only shocked and surprised, but more or less outraged by this action from the Trump administration. And you had everyone from Brennan Center to Duke Law, the ACLU, writing full reports on the use of IEPA and economic sanctions in order to compel divestiture or steer the market in any which way, right? Essentially, this sort of centralization of digital transactions and centralization of power to the president of the United States. And it was challenged almost at every level. And so here we are 3 years later, and it was right in the middle of January that CFIUS ended up publishing their final rule change, and they made some differentiations from the interim final rule, which was very broad, very sweeping. But still, the final rule change just drastically broadened the scope of authority for this administrative agency. And really, what it applies to is everything that connects to, it says, telephone, internet, satellite. I mean, when you think of digital infrastructure, it is absolutely everything that applies now to this agency. And so you have to understand what takes place after economic sanctions are invoked. And it goes through several different administrative agencies. One of them is the Office of Foreign Asset Control. That goes through the Treasury Department, and they handle individuals or people, covered entities or persons of concern. And they are the ones who more or less adjudicate the individual side. And then there's CFIUS, which is the commerce side for, I think it's, I'm going to forget the acronym, of course.
Do they report to commerce, or are they reporting to the State Department?
Well, this is an administrative agency through the Department of Commerce, okay, and they report directly to the president. And so CFIUS essentially adjudicates all actions that need to be taken by the corporation in order to come into compliance and not end up with the result or, whatever the sort of enforcement provision is that they're being threatened with. And so whatever the company is would end up working with this administrative agency. So you have to kind of understand how it breaks down. Like, for example, on the domestic side, most Americans recognize if they are alleged of wrongdoing, right, then their district attorney would handle the case. Then they would be appointed, you know, so there's like a process for everything that happens.
And we know what that process should look like. In that case. And you mentioned a few minutes ago that they expanded it. What does this do for the person listening to this right now? Why should they be concerned about this? And then I'll let you get back to the weeds.
So that's a really great question. And I think this really is the weeds and the nuts and bolts at the same time, if you will. So everyone is pointing towards H.R. 7521. This is the quote-unquote TikTok ban bill. And most people are saying the bill very clearly outlines countries of concern, foreign adversarial nations, if you will. And so they're saying that there's some, you know, some reason to be relieved or take a deep breath or whatever, because it's, you know, the bill limits country of concern to four different nations, which are North Korea, China, Russia, and Iran. Right. So what I'm talking about in terms of expanded definitions, not only the National Emergency Authorization of IEPA, but then also CFIUS through its final rule changes have expanded the authority of both the Attorney General and, of course, their own authority to essentially add or remove a foreign adversarial nation, quote unquote, without notice. And they do this on a fairly regular basis. So if you go online and you look at, for example, the Office of Foreign Asset Control, that's OFAC, and you take a look at all of their rule changes that have just happened over the last 2 weeks, it's almost every day now, they are consistently adding and removing individuals, entities. There's the farm in Gaza, for example, in the West Bank. They just declared economic sanctions on. I mean, these determinations are being made almost daily. So you're talking about a very quickly moving apparatus, and that target can really move at any point in time. And so I really don't think that there is any reason to take comfort in the fact that this bill says that there are only four nations that apply, because we simply know that's not true. Based on both history and the both agencies that actually adjudicate these issues.
Are both agencies aware of each other and what their role is within this?
Well, sure. I mean, they work quite closely together, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I find it quite fascinating at this point in time, because so CRC is the Congressional Review Council, and essentially they operate like most states' legislative review council would, only these are hired attorneys who work for Congress, and their entire job is to go through administrative rule changes and then make an analysis, or what's called a sidebar, based on past legal challenges, current rule changes, and what the bill will mean in the context of today's administrative frameworks. I am really shocked that not a single member of Congress has asked for a sidebar on this bill specifically, and why we don't have any type of formal analysis that really outlines what this bill will truly mean going forward into the future. And what's also very fascinating to me is, like I said before, you know, ByteDance and TikTok have been working with the Biden administration for the last 3 years. So why suddenly has the quote unquote wool been or rug been pulled out from underneath them? Did they not come into compliance? Because I think that's news to both the company, from what I understand, right? They were shocked that this bill came out. And I think most of the American public is shocked. It just happened so very quickly.
Why do you think that is? Do you have any gut feeling on why it has happened so fast?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to, you know, dive into speculation.
Yeah, that's
but
my
what
job.
I can tell you, what I can tell you for sure is that 2 days into this bill making its way through the House, and for anyone who's not aware, the House actually suspended its own rules in order to pass this bill. That's why it passed so quickly. In my lifetime, I don't remember Congress ever passing a bill this quickly. I mean, it was like 4 days from the time it was introduced to the time that it was passed at the House. That's unheard of. But about 2 days into that process, the Democratic Committee on Oversight, Jamie Raskin, and there's another representative.
Probably Dan Goldman. It seems like
Dan Goldman. Yes, that's it. You're right. They put out a press release and called on James Comer to appear before their committee and to explain to them why Elon Musk had not been brought up on sanctions charges and to look into allegations of sanctions violations, because it appeared to them, because of some report they had received, that Musk had violated sanctions law by allowing blue check marks to members of Hezbollah and Russian oligarchy, apparently. And so what's really interesting, going back to economic sanctions and IEPA, is the fact that, and this is part of the Brennan Center report that came out in 2021, and I can read it to you if you'd like, but to summarize it,
please. If it's from the Brennan Center, please summarize it in two sentences.
Well, sure. So they essentially outline just how easy it is to bring about economic sanctions, and what they say on no uncertain terms is that all you need is an allegation, hearsay, or even a news article from like the New York Times, for example, and an investigation can begin. And they also outline that historically, when investigations begin, the Department of Commerce, Treasury, the State Department, they can impose essentially what's akin to civil asset forfeiture. So they can freeze assets, and they can you know, take property, they can freeze everything prior to a finding of guilt. And so it becomes very difficult, and they say specifically for U.S. citizens to fight back, because they don't have, you know, what they need in order to hire or retain an attorney, for example. So it can be very difficult to fight back.
Is this how they go after Elon Musk?
Well, I would certainly say at this point in time, it appears that there is certainly a committee in the House who has that in mind from their press release.
So tie all this together for us. You mentioned the four countries that can be removed. Why is that important? What happens to that? What happens to that bill if the bill is supposed to be about adversarial countries, but then someone can come along and take those four countries out? What is the bill about then?
Sure. So really what the bill is about is giving the president the ability to force what's called divestiture. And that is the authority to force the sale of private property. And, you know, most people think of property in terms of real property, which is like real estate, for example. Mm-hmm. IEPA has been used in the past to force the sale of real estate and actual tangible assets. But in this context, it's giving, and it doesn't really specify, it just says divestiture.
Right.
So that could mean that the president has the authority to force the sale of shares. It could mean that the president has the authority to force the sale of real property, because it's not further defined.
And if you take all the countries out of it, who does he have the authority to do that to? Americans?
Well, so that's interesting that you bring that up, because, again, going back to this Brennan Center report, you know, there's nothing really in IEPA that specifies the act can't be used against U.S. citizens. You know, it's known, like FISA was known, sure, that it's to be used against foreign adversaries.
Allegedly, only.
Enemy combatants, yeah, right? However, as we saw, that continued to be codified to where suddenly it was used and weaponized against U.S. citizens. So there is this slippery slope argument to be made here that it could potentially be used for citizens of the United States. But I think really when it comes down to it, you know, the president and all applicable agencies, they can add or remove those designations without prior notice. And so I think what that means is Russia's already on there, for example. A really good case could be made that President Trump has ties to Russia, yeah, and, or, you know, so forth and so on. So I don't think that the country of concern is necessarily the biggest issue here. I think the language in the bill that's of larger concern is the portion where it says controlled, in individual that is controlled or owned by a foreign adversarial nation. Well, what does it mean to be controlled by, yeah, and who makes that determination?
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's so important to go back to the administrative agencies that do make that determination. And that would be CFIUS, and that would be the Office of Foreign Asset Control.
Well, if they wouldn't use so many initials in every government office, it wouldn't be so difficult to remember them all. You're listening to Brianna Sagdahl. She is a writer and research fellow, the Beef Initiative. And thank you for coming in and sharing this. I think it needs to be on people's radar. And I think this is the best explanation that I've had of what is really going on.
I think at this point, everybody should be holding on to their pocketbooks when it comes to centralized control of private property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on.
If you ask me, this whole world has gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You know, as you look at this 2024 election, there may not be anything more important than the Senate races. There are 23 Democrats that are defending their seats and only 10 Republicans. It brings up a wonderful opportunity for Republicans to gain control of the Senate in 2025. It needs to happen. And there is some low-hanging fruit. West Virginia will be a state that flips with Jim Justice, who is currently the governor there. He will be replacing Joe Manchin, who decided not to run. Michigan is another one of those states that we should look at. The Democrat senator in that state is retiring, and that leaves a seat open. And Mike Rogers recently got the endorsement of Donald Trump, but Michael Hoover is a guy that I want you to get to know, and we're going to get to know him right now. And Michael, I know you're a busy guy, but thank you so much for making time for us here on The Truth Be Told.
Well, thank you so much, Booker. It's great to be with you.
So, you know, we're going to start really just in a conversation of what motivates you to go from being, you know, you've had some success and success in which to me is kind of odd when you consider you're conservative, you're a Republican, but you've made your living a lot in recycling. And I say this quite a bit. I've never met a Republican or a conservative that are not about saving the earth and recycling. It's just the way we've kind of been, they've been forcing us to go about it recently. But what makes you want to be a U.S. senator?
Well, I think that we're here to do two things. When I just kind of boil it all down, I think we're here to have children and raise them up in loving homes. And I think the second thing that we're here to do is pass on an America that's better than what we received. I've got four children. I became a dad when I was 18 years old. So I've dedicated my life to my family. And here we are with the country no longer what it was when I grew up and when we were number one in everything that we did. We are now in a place where we're falling off a cliff. And I just look at my four kids and my nine grandchildren. I was asked to run for governor a couple of years ago, and it wasn't my time. And now this time it is in the U.S. Senate. And I think the really the biggest issue we have is in D.C. if we can get that to under control, we can pass the power back to the local communities and the local states. But really, it's about restoring America for our kids and the next generation. That's why I got in.
Let's look from a 30,000 foot view. This country, you mentioned just then that this country was number one. It was too when I was growing up. We were number one in everything. And now you look in education, we're not. In so many other places, we're even fearful that the dollar may lose its place. And as we see China doing what they are doing. So How does America, if you go into the Senate, how does America fit into this world in geopolitics at this point? And how do we get back to being number one?
Well, that's such a big point. It's critical that we get back to that point. I mean, we still are number one. We're still holding on to that. But if you look at how well China has positioned themselves in taking over the number one position, they've said that that's what they wanted to do, and they're doing it. And they're quite clear about what their intent is to make it happen. So what I believe is we have to pull back from China I think that's the number one thing we have to do as Americans. We have to look at Americans first. We have to look at each other, our husbands, our spouses, our family, business owners. We have to look at each other as Americans first, and I think we're starting to see an American awakening when you see some of the reactions, when we see what happens at, say, you know, Bud Light or Target, Disney. You're starting now the LA Dodgers are on deck, pun intended, I guess there. Yeah. So I think, you know, the number one risk is the CCP. You know, again, just kind of taking a step back in the mid 90s, we were sending about $5 to $10 billion per year of US dollars for imports. Now we're up over $600 billion a year, and they've taken that money and they've invested it into their Navy and all their military, to the point where now in war games, we lose on the Navy side of things. So I think it's really to help us get ourselves back. We have to maybe pay a little bit more money for an American product. We have to buy American. We have to pull back from, you know, buying CCP related products. We have to encourage our major businesses and Wall Street to invest more into other countries. Certainly our, you know, United States of America was where we'd like it to come. And I just think there's just one thing, if I was just to big scope it, I think that's it. Now, there's a lot of things that need to happen for us to help our economy and help our business environment here at home. But I think that's where we need to go.
You know, Michael, as you look at the World Economic Forum and the ESG that is making its way into bills here in America, and you see these companies that you mentioned a minute ago, Bud Light is one of those, Disney is another, so many, BlackRock would be another one. So many of these countries are no longer really worried about the profit for stakeholders, but more of their social score. And that's a problem in this country, and I'm sure that you are aware of that, and we'll do what you can. But I want to get to some of your top line ideas for your campaign, because, again, I want to use this time to introduce people to you that may not know you across the country. And, you know, you mentioned your family, and that's the first thing that's mentioned in your campaign and on your website. And if you would, please tell us that website, and then let's talk about families first.
Sure. So the website is Hoover for Senate. That's F-O-R. So Hoover, H-O-O-V for victory, of course, E-R-F-O-R-S-E-N-Senate.com. And then all of our social media is the same tag. It's Hoover for Senate on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I would encourage everybody to go there, because we do put out regular posts about policy and our reaction to some of the things that's going on, like the debt crisis, for example. But let's talk about the family. So our first thing is to protect the family. I think that we can solve most, if not all, if we can return to family values. It's been proven for over 2,000 years that if we have, you know, a loving home where we have parents that are, you know, dedicated to and have the ability to, when I mean have the ability, not that they're in a situation where they can't afford to stay home, but I think it gets back to, we just got to focus on getting and making it so that we can afford to have families. We've made things so difficult for families to get by. For example, in my lifetime, cost of living has gone up 1,000%. Yet wages in the mid-70s were around $24 an hour. Here we are in 2023, average working wage, $24 an hour. And that's part and parcel from the very first thing you and I started talking about, is we outsourced a lot of our jobs, a lot of our manufacturing to China and the CCP. And sometimes people don't quite understand what that really means. Like, if you go to a manufacturing plant, which I actually worked in, my mom and dad worked, you know, both were factory workers. I worked in a factory for a while, just, you know, while I was getting myself through college. But the jobs that are in there, there's a scheduler, there's someone that's in charge of trucking, there's management, there's process engineers, there's manufacturing engineers. There's a slew of amazing jobs that come with the manufacturing sector. And we just let that go And that's part of, you know, affecting the families here, certainly here in Michigan, and I know throughout the country. But we also talk about on protecting the family. We talk about law enforcement. One of the, you know, just very basic protection of the family. We've demonized law enforcement across our nation to the point where I've visited probably about a dozen different police departments across the state. And every single one of them say the exact same thing. They say we have 5 jobs open, 3 jobs open, 7 jobs open. That never used to be the case. They used to have a line of cadets ready to fill those jobs. And now they cannot fill them because people, young men don't want to, and young women don't want to become, go into a profession where now they're attacked, they're demonized. And we have to turn that around. And one of the things we do is with our bill is a PR campaign where we just basically show them as the heroes that they truly are. Most of us growing up, you know, we looked at law enforcement and fire department people that that were firefighters as heroes. And of course, that's not the place where we live anymore. So now we got to change that. So we call for a PR campaign, and where we show them as moms and dads, sons and daughters. They're also parents of children, and they're out there protecting ours. So we know we can do that. And then we also do a bill that says, we're going to give you a performance award, a national recognition award. So if you drop your crime rate in your county or whatever department area that you cover, that we're going to nationally recognize you. We're going to give you a nice reward for that. And then we're also going to give you a bonus to share amongst your team that made that happen.
Let's go into the economy and inflation. We're all living through, you know, what is the highest inflation in 40 years, the highest gas prices ever. The decisions that have been made the last 2 to 3 years have crushed us. You mentioned the middle class and jobs and how our wages have not really grown through our lifetime. And that's getting worse. It's not getting better. The middle class is shrinking. And we've seen a great transfer of wealth over the last 3 to 4 years coming through COVID. So what are some solutions?
Yeah. So just to add to your thought or your comment there. So over the last, I would say it's probably been taking place for the last 20 years. But the transfer, the 0.1% now has more wealth than the bottom 80%. The top 1% has more wealth than the bottom 90%. And one of the things that just kind of really irks me, and I'll get to the solutions here in a second, but I just want people to feel me where I'm coming from on this issue. I sometimes hear people on national news talk about how the upper elite pays most of the taxes. And I always turn around and say, that's such an idiotic thing to say because we don't want that. I mean, the reason why that's a bad idea or a bad commentary is because that means that you're shrinking to your what you just said. We're shrinking the working class. And we want to build a working class. We want more wealth. We want more opportunity. And so that those taxes, now I'm not a fan of taxes, but we're just in that discussion and framing this discussion, it's important to say we want more wealth for the working class. So how do we get there? So it's really, you know, none of this is really difficult. What the difficult part is just getting these things to get done when you're trying to herd cats in Congress and on the Senate. Of course, we can get things done a little cleaner, but because there's less of us, you know, and I think less is more in a lot of cases, and certainly it is the case for government. Government has displaced free enterprise. Government has become a monopoly over almost every sector. So certainly healthcare, and healthcare is struggling. Energy is the number one go-to. So if we're going to fix our economy, we have to turn an about face and protect our energy sources. So that means natural gas, that means renewable gas, that means nuclear. Those are fantastic low-cost energies, and that's what's built this country up to be what it is. And now, of course, you turn around and they're attacking it so much so that Biden, you know, he said it very clearly. I thought it was a campaign thing, honestly, when I first heard him say that he was going to get rid of fossil fuels and all this other nonsense that he was in. Obviously, he can't do it. He can't, you know, that can't happen for decades. We don't have the technology to make that happen. I mean, think if Mr. Ford would have said, okay, I'm going to get rid of all the horses when we were transitioning to the car. And so we have to really go back and give a pathway for our energy companies to go and generate a lot more energy. And it's you know, what's interesting about this, it's not just for America. I just listened to the CEO of Chevron Phillips talk. I used to compete against him, but a really nice man, good man, and CEO. And he said, you know, it's not just about us. People don't realize that when you go to places like in Africa or even down in the, I've been down in Nicaragua, different places where they don't live like we do. They don't even come close to how we live. And they need energy, low cost energy too, so that they can get out of poverty. You know, people live on, you know, $1 to $2 a day, and they live on energy less than a refrigerator. The power we use to to power a refrigerator per month. So they need more low cost energy. And that usually, you know, that comes from America. But because of Biden's, he doubled the royalty fees on our oil and gas. That's the first time that's been done in like 40 or 50 years. He's made it so permits are very difficult to get a hold of. He always goes on and talks about, and you'll hear the left and you hear this political nonsense talk about, oh, there's 9,000 permits, but they're really not available.
Right.
So they've capped our ability to go out and generate a lot of energy.
And refineries.
So I'm giving you a lot on energy, but it's really
refineries.
Critical for us.
Refineries too. We don't have the refining capabilities to even produce what we need on a daily basis in this country.
And during COVID, the other thing that took place is, you know, they shut down. You know, there's not especially on the small to mid-size developers, a lot of those companies went out of business. And so now two things happen there. One is that when you take away competition, prices go up. Mm-hmm. That's part of the regulatory elitist move. We have half as many banks as we once had, say, after Dodd-Frank. A lot of people thought, oh, this will be great. They're going to put all these regulations in so that we don't have failures. And now we have, of course, we have failure after failure. But really what it was intended to do is that the elite banks, I should say, big banks say, OK, we'll put all these regulations in place. And we know the midsize cannot handle it because it's too costly. They can't handle the adding all the structure and the people to do that. So they go out of business. We have half as many banks and we have probably nearly the same in terms of energy. So it's really getting the regulations back down under control for across the board, but energy is really critical.
And Michael, hang on to that thought for just a minute. Let's get into some more financial things on the other side of this break. We have more with U.S. Senate candidate from the state of Michigan, Michael Hoover, coming up next.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow.
with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. 58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Coming up here in just a few minutes, it is Unleash the Political News Hour. That will be followed by the National Security Hour. And then at 9, it's After Dark with Robin Andrew. My name is Booker Scott, and this is The Truth Be Told. Thank you for joining us tonight. We are in a conversation with U.S. Senate candidate Michael Hoover from the state of Michigan, the Wolverines. And you know, Michael, when you look at things financially in this country, it's hard for me to believe that we are almost $35 trillion in debt. How did we get there? And what's going to happen? What's the outlook financially in this country?
So what happened? What's going to happen? We can't afford it. We won't pay it. We're going to pay interest on that. So that's going to make it so that we have less money for other items that are more important, such as national defense. Social Security is going to go bankrupt in 9 years. But what happens to that money? Well, we can't pay for it. So somehow, someplace, we've got to create the money to make those payments. And that money is just literally created out of thin air. And when we do that, we create this $3 trillion or $4 trillion. It's like helicopter money. I don't mean that to be in a good way, but what happens is it's going to find its way into our economy. And now, because there's $3 to $4 trillion more circulating in our country and throughout the world, everything will go up substantially more. And so your prices for bacon, eggs, gas, home products, anything that you're purchasing is going to go up just because of supply and demand. We have more dollars laying around. Everything goes up. And at the same time, we're still not seeing our jobs and our opportunities come up, so that's not going to stay up. So it's going to be even more difficult for people to live. And I argue this. I never wanted to say this. You know, I hated this concept. I hated this idea coming into my brain. But I truly believe that this is done on purpose, meaning that this is a strategy to hurt the lower income and middle income folks. So they get to the point where they're at bended knee saying, you know, please give me some free health care. Give me free education. I'll take anything you can give me, free housing, free, you know, whatever, because you've made it so difficult to live. And I don't want to say that as a cop out. I don't want to say that like, oh, that's what you should do, because we shouldn't do it. We should fight tooth and nail and always stand up to try to be independent. That's what being American is being independent. And that's how we're supposed to live. And that's how we're supposed to take care of our own families. Working hard is who we are. It's not supposed to be easy, because if everything was easy, we'd be fat, like, you know, lazy and happy, you know, maybe not even happy, because, you know, we always feel better when we go out and work, do a hard job and show that ourselves, like, wow, I actually tested myself and overcame some major challenges. And I want to speak to that, is that my wife and I You know, we struggled. We were very young parents. We had four kids when we were 24 and 27 years old. And so what we did, though, is we wanted to make sure that our kids had the best opportunity going forward. So my wife stayed at home. That meant that we lived in a 900 square foot house, and we ate pot pies. And then she did get a job. So when I came home from work a couple days a week, two or three days a week, she would go to work. But those were, you know, and so I want to people to understand, we understand how, what it's like to struggle and to, you know, have to work hard and work through it. And I thank God that, you know, to kiss the ground that, you know, we live in America, United States of America, that allowed us to be able to work through the challenging times so that we could eventually, you know, create some new opportunities for ourselves and make things, you know, make good things happen, not only for ourselves, but for the, not only our state, but for our country as well. But that's one of my message, is that we need to pull all this spending back so that the working class, the lower income folks have a true opportunity to move forward and truly live the American way and live the American dream. I talk to these, I talk to some kids and I say American dream. And they look at me like, what are you talking about?
They don't even know what it is. They have no idea what that is anymore.
Right. Yeah. So it's always good for us to kind of share our story. Like, wait a minute. So you were a dad when you were 18 and you're still living and breathing to talk about it.
Yeah. You know, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Michael Hoover. He is running for U.S. Senate in a crazy state of Governor Whitmer in Michigan, which they came through some tough times during COVID, as we all watched that across the country. And, you know, he's trying to go to Washington, D.C. to eliminate fossil fuels. And hopefully he will have that opportunity to win that. We have a couple of more minutes before we end this part of the program. And I want to go to civil liberties, because those our liberties seem to be trounced on. And every day it seems like a little bit more is being taken away from us, and more and more and more. So where are you on our liberties?
I live and breathe the Constitution. I just had my pastor over yesterday, and he said, you're not going to believe this. They are voting whereby if I say that that a marriage should be between a man and a woman or something to that effect, and somebody happens to be in the congregation that day and they feel they get offended by that, he could get arrested and he could get fined. I think it's upward of $25,000. So, you know, I was, you know, of course it just kind of just floors you and to hear things like that. But they've done things like they've been attacking the Second Amendment. They're certainly attacking the First Amendment, where they don't even want you to be able to speak, and particularly in a church. You know, that just kind of blows you away on a different level. But it's something we have to absolutely fight back and, you know, get ourselves in the majority so that we can undo these bills. The House bill I was referring to here in the state of Michigan that the pastor was talking about was House Bill number 4474. So I think eventually the good folks from Beckett, who protects religious freedoms throughout the country, usually they represent religious freedom for all religious freedoms, that is, too. You know, in the Supreme Court, I'm sure this will be another one that comes down the pike for them. I got to meet and attend their gala a couple of weeks ago in New York, and just a phenomenal group of people. And what's wonderful about them is that they truly represent all religious freedom. They want to make sure that this country upholds our First Amendment.
And you know, Michael, I want people to understand how important this 24 election is going to be for the Senate. You mentioned getting control again of the Senate. There is a huge opportunity, and people need to realize that for a red wave to happen, It's more likely to happen in the Senate in 24 than it was back in 22. The reason why, there are 20 Democrat seats being defended while only 10 Republicans are. So there's a huge opportunity, and we need to have, the Republican side needs to have a large majority, not just one or two seats. It needs to be up there so that confirmations can get through in 25, assuming there is a Republican president. Michael, we've got a minute to go, so I'm going to give you last word, sir.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to join your program and talk. I think that it's just so really critically important that we get people on board with our mission to restore America for the next generation. I think it's so important that we set ourselves aside, just like we do as parents. We always put our children first. And this is a critical time. It's make or break to put America in as the priority and do whatever we can and make it happen. Because I think 2024 is a great opportunity for us to restore America and move our country forward.
And again, thank you to Michael Hoover for being our guest here tonight on The Truth Be Told. He is running for the U.S. Senate in the state of Michigan. It is a seat that the Republicans can win coming up in November in 2024. My name is Booker Scott, and you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth, and salt without flavor, it has no value. It's worthless. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Have a great night. Unleash the Political News Hour is next.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.